You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I'm going to talk you through metta practice and tell a story about my first tentative steps into Buddhism and understanding how mind training works. So, metta. Metta is also known as Maitri and translated into English as loving kindness. There are variations to the practice depending on the tradition that you learn it from, but the basis is the same. It's a practice that we do to cultivate compassion. The practice has multiple parts. I'm going to be giving sort of a general talk about it based on a lot of different teachings that I've had. So you can go and find any teacher that you want who teaches on metta or Maitri, and you'll come across many different variations of it. But to begin, generally, one sits comfortably in meditation posture on a cushion or a chair. So your back is straight but relaxed, arms by your sides, hands resting on your thighs, not too rigid, not too loose and floppy. You can do the practice with your eyes open or closed, but I've always preferred eyes closed as it's a practice that uses visualization. And for me, I find visualization easier to do when my eyes are closed. But again, it's completely up to you. So when we start loving kindness meditation, it's always good to begin with just a few minutes of mindfulness meditation. So shamatha, just for a few breaths before starting the metta, which is using your breath as the object of meditation and simply being aware of the breath and labeling thoughts as thoughts and letting them go. You will do the labeling thoughts as thoughts and letting them go throughout metta as well, but I find because you're doing a visualization, a lot of the time it's easier to let the thoughts go or to not get distracted by the thoughts because you actually will be working with phrases. The first stage of metta, as I learned it, is that you visualize yourself as being bathed in glowing yellow light. It can start from anywhere, above your head, behind you, over your shoulders. Sometimes when this is taught, the light is actually coming from someone. So you could, for Buddhists, vision it as coming from the Buddha or your guru or teacher or spiritual friend, something like that. I like to visualize it as emanating from my heart, sort of growing outwards and then enveloping me. And as we visualize this light, we use the breath as the object of our meditation, just like with shamatha, but we also recite phrases with each out-breath. There are more traditional phrases we could use, such as, may I know happiness and the root of happiness, or may I be free of suffering and the root of suffering. But we can use absolutely any affirmative phrase we choose. When I was first learning this, I was really struggling to cope with high levels of anxiety due to the panic disorder that I had at the time, and you know, shed loads of self-doubt and criticism on top of that. So I like to say, may I have ease of mind, and you are worthy of love. The point is, we use a phrase that you're going to feel some sort of genuine connection with, that you genuinely wish for yourself, even if you don't believe it. The next step is to think of and hold in your mind's eye someone for whom you feel great compassion. When this is taught in the West, people are often discouraged from using a family member, since we can have really complicated feelings towards family. And it's meant to be a practice of maintaining an open heart. I agree to a certain extent. When people are first learning this as a practice, that you probably should avoid that. But once you've been doing it for longer, I think family members are brilliant for the second stage. And if you can't think of a person, it's recommended that you think of an animal instead. A lot of people can feel genuine, open-hearted love to an animal when they can't think of a single person that they have that for. So that works as well. And You don't have to limit yourself to people who are living. If you have a memory of unconditional love that you feel towards a grandparent or a dear friend who's died, you can use that too. We send them the same phrases that we used for ourselves in the first stage. So, may they know happiness and the root of happiness, or may they be safe, or whatever works for us. And then we can also visualize that light that's been encompassing us, extending from around our bodies to include this other person. The third stage is to extend the phrases towards a neutral person or group of people. The person who delivers our post every day, or everybody that we see on the bus and we don't even know their name, the person who empties our bin at work. The fourth stage is considered the most difficult one. The fourth stage is to extend this loving kindness towards someone we consider to be an enemy. When we first do this practice, it's best to use someone that we don't have a lot of charge with, like maybe that person who cut you off that morning in traffic, or the person at work who you think chews too loudly. Don't jump in with wishing for ease from suffering for somebody who has caused you some sort of trauma in your life. Depending on the practice and who's teaching it, then you could move into a fifth stage, which is to hold in your mind all sentient beings everywhere and extend whatever the affirmation was to all of them. So when I do this, I imagine that I'm an ever-increasing glowing ball of light, and tendrils of this light are stretching out over the entire planet. To encompass everyone, I sort of just visualized groups of people, like, may all beings across Canada know happiness and the root of happiness, until I have the sense of the visualization of that light crossing all of Canada. And then I'll move on to, may all beings across all of North America know happiness and the root of happiness, and so on, until I can picture the entire planet just bathed in this yellow light of compassion and love. So that's the practice. And now, story time. When I first learned this practice, I was sort of teaching it to myself with just a little bit of guidance from my psychologist and by reading Sharon Salzberg's book on the subject, which I believe is called Loving Kindness. I didn't realize that when this is taught, people are usually taken through all four or five stages in one sitting. Like you sit there and, you know, you do like 10 minutes for yourself, 10 minutes for someone you love, 10 minutes for the neutral person, 10 minutes for the difficult person, 10 minutes for all beings everywhere. I just decided that I was going to do the first stage until I believed it. Bear in mind, at the time, I was dealing with what I considered crippling anxiety. My self-esteem was in the crapper, and I was pretty convinced that I didn't deserve any happiness. I also had a very skewed idea of happiness, so that didn't help. So I just did stage one, just stage one, bathing myself in light and giving myself these affirmative messages for about 6 months. And I remember very clearly when I genuinely began to trust that I did deserve happiness, that I was allowed to feel good, and that I was worthy of love. And then at that point, I would move on to the next three stages. So then I moved on to doing it for someone I loved and the neutral people. And with the difficult people, it was a little bit hard for a while. There were some particular difficult people that I would kind of try to go for, and I realized that I couldn't, so then I just pull back and do it for people who irritated me rather than people who I considered had actually caused me genuine harm. Part of doing it for neutral people involved doing it spontaneously during my day. I didn't necessarily do the practice, like I said, because I thought of it as like separate parts and not necessarily an all-encompassing, you have to do it for yourself first and the next person, move on. I would just be out and about driving and say someone would cut me off, for example, or run a red light or something dangerous like that, and I'd say, may you be safe. I just like sort of do it for them, like shoot a little glowing ball of yellow light and like, may they be safe. I didn't actually buy it, but my understanding was that what I was doing was sending them positive energy. I'm putting quotes around that. Like somehow my well-wishing could magically influence them to have some realization about their driving and then not be so foolish. But the thing was, I didn't really buy this because it smacked of woo. I've never believed that positive thinking would magically produce positive results. Whenever I've heard someone say something like, oh, if you think it, the universe will provide, I just thought, yeah, the universe doesn't owe us anything. But on the other hand, I appreciate how ingrained that line of thinking has become for so many people and how often people speak about energy in this way, because that was my understanding of what I was doing when I was doing metta. That's what I thought I was being taught to do. But what I didn't realize for some time was that I was thinking of these people that I was sending metta to as, well, as people. By intentionally wishing for someone to be happy or safe or to feel love, I was thinking of them as a human being, which meant that I wasn't limiting them to being a jerk or an asshole simply because of a single interaction. I also wasn't limiting them to what I knew about them as a person. If they were someone that I'd known for a really long time, when I was sitting there actually doing metta for a friend, I wasn't thinking of them as that person that I know in this fixed way based on the fact that I've known them for a long time. A shift in my understanding happened several years later, or rather, a realization in my understanding, when I actually understood what was happening when I was doing this practice. I've been living in London for just over a year, and it's a bit of a convoluted story that I won't go into because it involves a whole other practice, Tonglen, which I also recommend very highly that people look into. But basically, I suddenly realized that all this practice wasn't about sending energy out there, but about how I was changing my own way of viewing, experiencing, and thinking about the world and the people that I shared with. I wasn't changing other people. I was changing myself. And because everything we experience is a projection of the mind, my experience was changing. I wasn't experiencing people as irritating nearly so often. I wasn't experiencing them as difficult or challenging. I actually remember spontaneously, while doing metta one day, I spontaneously reached the fourth level and thought of some people who had really caused me harm. People who I still today struggle to feel a sense of forgiveness towards. And I spontaneously wished for them to be happy. Not happy as in to not get what they don't want and get what they do want, but happy as in to have a sense of compassion and love and understanding that goes beyond material stuff. Because I understood, if they were genuinely happy, they would never have caused me harm. They would never have caused anyone I knew harm. They would never cause harm again. So actually, wishing for them to have genuine happiness became incredibly easy because I had done all this work that had completely changed how I viewed happiness and how I viewed them as human beings. They were no longer a threat or an enemy. They were somebody who was actually just as deserving of happiness and to be free of suffering as me or anyone else, regardless of whether or not I loved them genuinely and openly or not. When we cultivate a genuine wish for other people to be happy, to be free of suffering, we close the gap between us and them until we see that there is no them. We all want to feel safe. We all want to be happy, and we all want to be free of suffering. And while we're all very different, at our core, these are the things that make us the same. Metta is a practice that we can use to realize this, to remind ourselves every single day that we only create enemies in our mind. How we think can lead to fear, grasping, and suffering if we think of other people as a threat to our comfort. So just as easily, although possibly you might not think this is easy, bear in mind we've been spending a lot of time practicing the opposite. We can change the way we think. By wishing for happiness and freedom from suffering for others, we'll see our sameness, and those wishes will become genuine, because we'll begin to see how compassion is good for our heart and something we create from within. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.